Hey, welcome everybody to Black Hawk Church. Welcome back again this evening. For some of you, maybe you just finished actually watching the last service of the day and you decided to stick around and check this out. Others of you, maybe you checked stuff out this morning and heard about what we were doing this evening. And regardless, we are glad that you're joining us right now. I think my parents are at least joining in right at this moment. I'm not sure about anyone else, but Mom and Dad, so glad that you're checking this out right now.
You can tell yourself that, Matt, but that's probably actually not what's happening.
You don't
but
think so.
You can just tell. That's okay, though.
It feels good to me.
That's good.
That's what's important right now.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Hey, and for some of you, you might be thinking, we had originally planned an event for tonight to be able to talk about everything that has been going on with COVID-19.
Right.
And with our plans for how our church was going to move forward with reopening. And then we saw everything take place this past week. So in Minneapolis, as well as around our country, and then here in Madison last night. And so as we saw all of this unfolding, we felt like it was important for us to have a moment to be able to address everything that has been taking place and really to stop and take a look at what's a biblical perspective on how we look at all that's taking place in culture, all that's taking place in society, and how does that affect our church, and how does that affect our community as a whole?
Yeah, in a way, like pre-COVID, we would have had no question about, we would have said, hey, tomorrow, you know, this is all sites on venues, we're going to address this, and then we would probably call a meeting, you know, for after the last service, and we would have people come in, and you guys would sit there in the seats and stuff like that. So pre-COVID, it would have been a no-brainer, like what we should do. But in COVID world, we're like, oh, how do we actually address this? Because it's huge, and we can't overlook it. This is our city. And so we just thought, hey, really, with the people that you can't see right now, the tech people that are in the room, that's why this is possible. Actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're grateful for the people. We had all kinds of people who changed their plans
totally
in order to make a night like this happen, which was incredibly important. And really, I mean, for all of us, none of us have ever experienced anything like this.
No.
I mean, I know there have been horrible things that have taken place in our nation's history, but never during a global pandemic the way that we're dealing with things right now. And so we're making this up as we go. And so we get kind of excited about seeing how this conversation goes tonight as we make it up.
Yeah.
As we go.
Yeah, we might, maybe you'll all be looking for a job. I don't know.
Right.
After this. Whoa. Yeah, there you go. I have 396 days left, so there you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not keeping count.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so good to know.
You should be keeping count.
How many days is it?
396.
Okay.
There you
all
go.
Right.
That's
so good to
all
know.
Right. There you go.
So, well, hey, here's what I'd like to do. As we're still having more people who are jumping on to our different situations where they can go ahead and watch on YouTube, on Facebook, on our webpage, I'd like to go ahead and just take a moment for us to open up in prayer. I feel like it's important for us at a moment like this to be able to make sure that we are coming before God, asking Him to be the one to lead us in the conversation that we are going to have. That ultimately, a conversation like this would unify us and move us towards Jesus. And so let me pray for us right now as we begin. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather in a unique way as we have over these last few months. Thanks for technology that gives us the opportunity to do this as a community and as a family. And God, as we dive into this subject this evening, we pray for your direction, for your wisdom, for your guidance. We know that there is so much that is taking place right now that breaks your heart. We know there are all kinds of things that have been taking place that for many of us, we've had an easy time turning a blind eye to that breaks your heart. And so as we talk about these things tonight, would you ultimately lead and guide our conversation in the way that you would desire for it to go? Really, that it would move us all into a deeper love for each other and a deeper love and understanding of who you are as God. And so we ask you to be the one to lead. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, all right, Charles, Chris, what I'd like to do is just to begin really by asking the question. So much has taken place in this last week, starting in the Twin Cities and then moving out from there and ending up right here as we experienced things in Madison last night. What are the things that have stuck out to you as you have watched all of this take place?
What a week. I just, unbelievable week. I mean, it first starts off with, if people can think back to this awful record that, you know, COVID-19, over 100,000 deaths in just in our country. So that's just like bizarre. And so that's the way the week starts out. And then on Monday, we have what all of us have seen now that happened with George Floyd. And then we had unrest throughout in Minneapolis first, and then in Madison, and obviously in Washington, D.C., and Atlanta, and Los Angeles, just so much unrest. And I know I was sharing with you younger men earlier, I remember 1968, and I was 12 then, but I mean, those of us who are older, for some of you don't know what happened in 1968. It was awful. Vietnam was happening. Bobby Kennedy was killed. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. It was riots everywhere, and you know, unbelievable. I mean, I'm just thinking, whoa, what is happening in our? And then in Madison, what's happening in our city? It was just and I'm telling you, man, Monday when I was watching, it was in the evening, and I watched on the news what was happening to George Floyd, and I you know, you hear the voices in that video, and people are saying, he can't breathe, he can't breathe, and you can see other officers standing around, and then I'm just, the nonchalance of that officer who had his knee on his neck, I just looked at my wife, and I said, that's evil, that's just evil.
That's a moment that caught my eye this past week. I mean, that was the Monday afternoon, you know, somebody sending a text, you got to see this, watching it, and I could not, I mean, just stomach turned, so angry, like, I cannot believe he's killing that person in front of me. I cannot believe it. I mean, that's my first thought, and I think after I caught my breath, after I kind of calmed myself down a little bit, my next thought was, oh, wow, how many of these things have happened without video camera?
Right.
How many of these have gone on in Minneapolis and elsewhere in our country for not just this incident, but just being ongoing, right?
That I have mean, never been recorded. They've right, never recorded. Been seen.
I mean, just these past few weeks, Ahmaud Arbery, right? And then we know about, you know, Breonna Taylor, Sandra Bland, you know, in here, Madison, Tony Robinson, Tamir Rice out in Ohio. I mean, it just feels like it's a long connected strand of stories that just keeps going backwards. And at one part, it's shocking. It's like, wow. And another part is, this is old. This is getting really old.
It can almost, so it can almost feel like, I mean, and as we look at the last few weeks, the way that there have been a string of these different situations that have taken place, it feels like we finally just hit a tipping point to where things started to bubble over. But I mean, really what you're saying that we see is that, like, this is not just a string of incidences. This has been taking place. I mean, this is pervasive in our society.
Absolutely. And I want to just talk about how we can respond to this, because those of you who just watched Charles's message, I mean, that was a great talk on Psalm 1. I've done Psalm 1 talk 10, 15 times. That was just a great talk. Every time I listen to this guy, I learn something. And I never thought about, hey, we're going to be tree people.
Tree people.
Tree people, you know? And so I'm thinking, how can we be tree people?
Dressed up as Ents.
As Ents, yeah. Right.
You always have to bring Lord of the Rings in.
Yeah.
It just goes there.
Can't help it.
So how can we be tree people when we see this evil? I mean, I don't, you'd have to watch his talk to understand what I'm talking about. We have to be people who are meditating on the scriptures, and the scriptures speak to evil. So evil to a Christ follower is not just a philosophical concept. So there is a being who is evil, and that being, 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one, and he is having his way right now. And he is, this is the way a tree people would think. He's just having his way. He's bringing division within
communities. He's bringing division within families. He's bringing division within our country. He is just, he's great at math. He's an expert at division. He just divides, divides, and divides. And that is what he's doing right now. And you can't even hardly have a conversation without running into an argument with someone about something. It's just unbelievable.
Chris, talk about this more on this concept that we were talking about just a little bit, or Charles, just on this whole idea of the evil one being one who divides. Why would that be something that he wants to do? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, he is against the cross. He is against Christ. He is against unity. He's against love. He's against humility. He is for pride. He is for evil. He is for hate. You know, whenever you see hate manifesting itself, so as tree people, we go, oh, we shouldn't be surprised here. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one, and he is having his way right now. Let me just kind of just say, so I think everyone who sees the knee of that police officer on that neck, okay, that's okay, wow, all right. So that really should be the focus. We should be moving in a direction of like, whoa, there's a systemic problem in our country. We should be moving, and then all of a sudden, like the evil one is like, no, I want to cause more problems. So let's have violence in communities, and let's move the conversation from what probably we ought to be talking about as Christ followers to like, hey, why are these riots happening and all that, and all this kind of stuff. He just sparks that kind of stuff up. He's having a great time.
I think Chris, you know, you're absolutely right about, we need to recognize the shape of evil in our world. Because I think we think in terms that we're too naive in how we think about evil. We think in terms of individual mean people doing mean acts.
Right.
Rather than, you know what? Does the evil one institute it and put into evil in place? And it just grows and it reverberates. I mean, the concept of racism, right? The practice of racism came alive in our country hundreds of years ago. And it just kind of grew and grew and grew, and it's still all over the place. It's different shapes. It doesn't go away. It just changes shapes.
So let me just ask. Yeah. And so the tribalism, or this whole idea of I don't like you because you're not like me, that's always been around.
I mean, the idea of people of different ethnic groups saying, oh, my tribe is superior to yours, my country is better than yours, that's always been there. That's been the division of the brokenness of humanity.
Right.
But racism, this idea that we can compress people groups or ethnicities into three broad races, that's an evil that was invented in America.
Relatively new,
hundreds of years ago when they used to have white indentured servants, as well as black indentured servants coming to America. And at some point they decided these indentured servants can become free. And they're like, let's not go there. Let's just make lifetime servitude. But that means all the white slaves servants can't be free anymore. That's not good, because then let's just create this division. So what we did was we took Italians and French and Germans and British and all these European ethnicities, and we compressed them into one thing called white. And then we took a whole group. I mean, Africa, folks, is not a country. Africa is a massive continent, bigger than the United States, bigger than North America, bigger than Europe. It's massive, hundreds of ethnic groups and countries and nations and tribes, and we just compress them into one thing called black. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, okay, one's above the other. It's wild what that's done to our country, because we invented this, and it just reverberates, continues today.
Mm-hmm. So yesterday,
I
want to turn the subject just a little bit and go a little bit more specific, because that whole concept of systemic racism was what we were all showing up for yesterday at a peaceful protest. All three of us were there. Coley was down there with us. Mm-hmm. Hannah Bussey was there with us as well. There were a lot of our different mm-hmm. people who were there. Mm-hmm. And what was the experience?
Oh, man, in the morning, I mean, plus it was a Madison beautiful day and the beautiful capital, and it was just so peaceful and peaceful. What a great opportunity. I'm sure there were swearing or something. I didn't really hear that, not from anybody that had the mic. And I went around and said, talked to police officers and said, hey, thank you for serving and I appreciate you and so much like that. It was just really, it was great.
Yeah, it's peaceful. And I think it's really important for us as Christ followers to understand the history of our country and to understand why people protest. We just need to be people who are humble and willing to listen and get why people would go, this doesn't work for us. There are people in our country, communities in our country, in whom the system hasn't worked for a long time, and it keeps not working. And at some point, people just get tired, and they get, and they need to be able to protest. They need to protest. But when it comes to the violence, that's a harder thing.
And then it shifted.
It shifted last night.
At 4:30 or 5 or sometime.
Yeah, it became a different thing.
With a small group of people who were really changing the direction of where the entire event had begun.
Right. And even though while we can like...
It caught me off guard.
Yeah, we didn't see it coming.
I was like mowing the lawn. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was trying to make an excuse to get outside. I mean, it's like, beautiful day. And then my wife comes in and says, you got to see this.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is happening? I had no idea that it would take... Maybe I'm just naive about the work of the evil one.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, we don't know who we don't know these people. We don't know what they're thinking about, and there's all kinds of speculations about who they are and those kind of things. But I would just say this. I'm always trying to... I think as Christ followers, we give benefit of the doubt to people. Then we say, hey, some of the people out there just probably just want to do violent things. Others, if they truly are people who have given up hope, then maybe... We can understand, but here's the thing: as Christ followers, we don't endorse violence. That's not where we go. We're peacemakers. What we are as people, as tree people. We make peace for our community. We build up the community. We don't tear it down.
Mm. Which was the hallmark of King Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes,
I mean there were, I'm not a historic. Historian on the civil rights movement, but I mean that is one of the things. His hallmark is nonviolence.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because I think
he's driven by his biblical principles.
Yeah. And we watched a lot of videos. I mean, I've been watching a lot of videos of police and rioters and all over the country. And there's violent acts on both sides. And this is where when I was watching what was going on in Madison here. This is our town. We have people who are at Blackhawk, who are part of the police department,
absolutely,
part of the shop owners on State Street, and a lot of our Blackhawk people were probably were there at the protest during the noontime. And what I was seeing is people being restrained. I mean, the police officers were being restrained.
Oh,
I mean,
you guys
know some of the stories.
Yeah, you've watched. So it's like, isn't this COVID-19 happening? And there's people yelling right at police officers. They're like that far apart.
Yeah.
And now we're all paying attention to spray and stuff that comes out of your mouth. And I'm just thinking, and these officers are not moving one inch. The restraint that they showed and stuff like that is just unbelievable. And let me just make a point. I mean, obviously Blackhawk has lots of police officers that go to Blackhawk Church, as well as people that are African-American. And that's exactly the kind of division that the enemy would want to bring even into our church. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about something. Let's go to a little bit of a deeper level on this whole idea, really, that Charles, you started us with today with your sermon on what it means to be tree people based upon Psalm 1. And we were talking about that as tree people who are rooted in streams of living water, changed and transformed by the word of God that causes us, our leaves not to wither, and for us to be fruitful in season. We find ourselves in a particular season right now. And so what does it look like for us to be tree people in this kind of season? What does it look like in the midst of everything we are finding ourselves in as a church community, as a church family, as individuals that desire to show Jesus to the city that we live in? What does it look like for us to be Christ followers in the midst of this kind of a time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think that the key to the tree person is the person who's diving into the story. They read the story and they get what God is up to and what the evil one is up to, because that's part of the story. Mm-hmm. Right, and from the very get-go, right, what we realize is that the broken people are people who fundamental to who we are, we are attracted to people who are similar to us. We are drawn and we form little clumps. We form tribes of people and we start going, oh, you know, those are you know, they're Cubs people and those are the Brewers people. And we like different teams. We're better than you. I mean, we that's just so. It's so basic to who we are. It's absolutely amazing how foundational to who we are as broken people. And in God's like, you know what? From the very get-go, I have a different idea of what my people should look like. That my people should be a people who gather together different groups, different ethnic group, different culture group, different language group. And I'm going to do something that the world has never been able to do. Okay, never been able to do. Love each other. Because we're different. Did you catch that? That the vision is different people come together and who dress differently, eat different food, speak different languages, different cultural practices, and go, oh, wow, I love that about you. You're different from me. That is so cool. That's crazy from the world's perspective. The world has never been able to pull this off. The God says, Jesus says, I can pull that off because you're the one body. You're all in me. Jesus says, so we're one body, we're one church, one kingdom, and we're going to make that work with the Holy Spirit. So that's, if you're a tree person and you're diving into that story, you're going, oh, that's what this is about. That's what we're trying to make. When we're doing church here, that's what we're trying to accomplish. Now, here's the thing. I'm just going to be really upfront. The church in its history, and especially America, we have not done very well in that. In fact, we've been horrible at it, actually. And so the first century church, we're doing multicultural churches. 2,000 years later, here we are, and we're talking about, hey, let's get multicultural churches going. Because previously we had our own little churches.
Right.
Yeah.
It sounds like a new idea.
Sounds like a new idea.
But it's a New Testament idea.
It's a New Testament idea. It's right out of the Bible. Right. They were doing it right from the beginning. And so... We're now, you know, Black Hawk Church, we are a multicultural church. And you know, we have an African-American ministry, we have a Chinese ministry, we have Asian-American student ministry, we have gospel fusion venue. We've been going this for a while, and we are absolutely committed to going in this direction. We want to be a community where people come together and love on each other because we're different. This is where, I mean, I know the BAM right now is watching this. We love you guys. This is your church. We want to be your church and do the kind of things that make you go, yeah, this place, we belong here. We own this place. We get to push things around and change things here. That's what we want to do.
The vision is so powerful.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. I mean, where people who... have different backgrounds, different languages, are different from each other in many ways, come together voluntarily. It's not a school is pushing us together or it's not that we have to be together. We're doing it voluntarily. So we're giving up what's maybe important to us for the sake of someone else and for the sake of the kingdom. It's just the vision of that is so powerful.
Yeah, and I think for individuals, how do we live out this kingdom as tree people? I mean, I think once you get that vision, first thing, what Chris said about the evil wanting to divide us, don't say things and do things that will divide us. Just be aware that the evil one wants to destroy community. So if you're going to say something or you're going to write something, you're going to do something, you go, wait a minute, that might divide people. That might divide the community. Don't do it. That's like really kind of easy place to start.
Yeah, so much of that really comes back to, and we were talking about this earlier, a passage of scripture that we're actually going to get a chance to pray through in just a little bit, Romans 12. Mm-hmm. And Romans 12, verse 2 is the one that says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world.
Right.
You think of the pattern of this world and the way that we so naturally move into places that divide us. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is something that has to take place inside us.
And some of that requires rethinking. I mean, really, for many of us, if we were like, oh, I think this is a great vision. I don't know how to go anywhere with this. I recommend a book. I would, you start with a book. I would recommend Daniel Hill's Wide Awake. We're going to have that on our website. Mm-hmm. You can go and pick that up and start reading it.
Jamar Tisby, The Color of Compromise. Great book.
A lot of what I described about American church history, that'd mm-hmm. be right in that, that's a good resource. But here's the thing that's really important. Don't divide. We are peacemakers. We see clearly. We recognize evil. We need to see it. We need to recognize it. And we need to be people. And here's our aspiration for the church. Not just, we don't want to just be a church that's not racist. Okay? We want to be that church that's anti-racist.
Anti-racist.
We are anti-racist church. Yeah.
We're anti-evil one.
I'm not sure how we're going to get there. Okay, we're saying a lot of stuff here. We're like, we're going to move forward and make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
But just know, this is where we want to go, but we're going to learn and struggle and be humble.
So here is something you said a minute ago, Matt, that made me think about, you guys, we are just inundated with divisive messages. Yep. Just inundated. I mean, I don't care what news station you want to watch. You could be the MSNBC, CNN people, or you could be the Fox people. You watch that 5 or 6 hours a day. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Good luck with that. That's all about division. Mm-hmm. That's all about pride. This is what we should be absorbing here, right here. And that's all we take in. And social media is filled with this. One of the big character qualities that God wants us to excel in as Christ followers is humility. I just don't see much of that. Mm-hmm. You know, when we need to be led, we need somebody who's going to be humble, someone who has humility. We need to hear humility. Humility says, you know, I think I was wrong. I was wrong. I need to do this over. I need to listen to you. Mm. I need to understand. Humility is all about listening. And what just drives me crazy is that it doesn't really matter if you listen to one side or the other. You're just getting arrogance. It's just unbelievable. And as Christ followers, we should be able to just stand up and say, I need to turn that off for a second. I got to get a breath here and listen to the Word of God, because it's a completely different kind of thing. Here's the deal, though, is that as you listen to enough of the news and as you watch enough social media, it's just going to divide. Because in our world, the world we live in here, politics is more important than the Word of God. I mean, way more important. And everything has to go through the thing of politics. So if you start saying, hey, wasn't that terrible what happened to George Floyd and all that, then you can, all of a sudden, you can get someone who says, well, what about this? What about that? What about this? And I push back and I'm thinking, wow. Now, you know, there is systemic racism. I said this the other day, there is systemic racism. And they were like, systemic what? And I said, you know, the whole idea of racial divides kind of cooked in the cake here in our world. And they just looked at me like, oh, no. I work hard for things that I've earned. I have done this. I have done that. And then all of a sudden I felt like, and this is a friend. It's like all of a sudden I felt like there was a dividing wall between me and my friend. I'm thinking, what's happening here? Like, we love each other. Like, what's taking place? And all of a sudden I said, you know, what do your African-American friends think about what you're saying right there? And then maybe it was the wrong thing to say, because it was like, yeah, I don't have many African-American friends. So, I mean, I might have stepped on some toes right there with that. So we need to be people who are humble and can listen. And so if you don't have African American friends, then pick up one of the books that we just suggested and be open to learning.
Chris, you're headed in such a good direction. I wanted to interrupt for just a second, because I wanted to make sure that you came back around to the idea of the importance of listening. Mm-hmm. So because it can be really easy to pick up a book and to talk about a particular subject.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about who I am, You know, I'm a, and I talked about this a little bit in the services today. I'm a 49-year-old white guy. I've lived in majority culture my entire life, and never dealt with oppression. I talked some about how, you know, my daughters have never had to, I've never had to have a conversation with them before they're going out. And so as all of this was taking place, I started to text some of my friends who were black and who are non-majority culture just to say, can we get together? Just because I need to learn from you guys. I need to understand more of what it is that you're experiencing. And so to any of you in our church who are non-majority culture, I know a lot of what I've seen from my friends who are black, who have been writing on social media, is that they are angry and that they are tired. And I just, as one of the leaders of this church, I just want to say thank you for being willing to continue to step into a place to help those of us who are blind and realizing that there are places in our lives that we are blind, being willing to step in and help us to realize some of those places, that we need your voice in our lives in order to understand. We're never gonna get to the place of where we're able to understand what it is that you've gone through. We haven't lived it. But for us to understand it to a deeper level, it changes our hearts. And I believe makes us more like Jesus, more the type of culture that I think we're talking about here, that God would want us to be in a church altogether.
Yeah, I think as Christ followers, we need to listen and learn, and God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble.
When will all of us should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry.
When we're like that, we become tree people. Mm-hmm. We're motivated by the Spirit, by the Word of God, more and more. Maybe this is a good time for me to read Romans 12.
Let me ask, Charles, any final thoughts? Anything? Okay.
Yeah. So this is Romans 12, 9 through 21. And as I was thinking about this evening, I just thought this passage just popped into my head. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Amen. We're going to give Charles and Chris the opportunity to sit down right now as we continue with some more of what we're doing. Guys, thank you. Thanks so much for being in that conversation. And I'm going to ask Coley to come and join me up front right now, because we wanted this time not just to be a conversation. We wanted it to have, we wanted us to have the opportunity to be able to come before God in prayer, asking him to do a work in our community, our church family, that only he can do. We see the way the evil one desires to divide in such a massive way. And yet, God is the one who came to unite us, to be one family, people that where it wouldn't make sense for us to be family by culture and society standards, that we can be people who love each other differently. And so you could be a person here who is non-majority culture, a person of color, a black person who has experienced oppression. And we are so glad that you are a part of our church family. We want to wrap our arms around one another and love each other deeply and learn from one another. You could be a police officer who has been putting your life on the line in these last days, and you are a part of our church family, and we are so grateful for the things that you do in our community. You could be a first responder dealing with the different situations that are going on in our world right now with everything we're dealing with COVID-19. You could be a small business owner. You've been trying to just keep your head above water for the last 3 months as everything has been shut down. And now everything took place in the last 24 hours and you have lost so much more than you ever thought you would. You see, God, and that's the amazing thing about God, is he takes all of us and he puts us into a family together and says, the only way you're really going to be able to love each other deeply is if you connect to me, the true one who like feeds you, who allows you to be tree people because of what you gain through me, the true living water. And so what I'd love to do is to give us a moment just to be able to continue in this passage, Romans 12. Here's what I encourage this week. Man, it would be amazing if you just simply took time daily to read this passage, Romans chapter 12. Maybe daily, every time that you read it, there's something new that's sticking out in your mind that you want to just be able to focus on in your own time with the Lord. But what we'd like to do is that with these verses 9 through 21, just to be able to pray through these together right now. And so I'm going to begin for us, and then I'm going to hand it to Coley, and then I'll close things out. But let me read these first few verses of chapter 12, starting with verse 9 once again. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Let me lead us in prayer right now. Would you join me? Lord God, we hear a calling like this that you put out to us. And if I'm honest, it can feel daunting because there's no way that I can pull something like this off in my own strength. And so when I just look at these words here, being devoted to one another in love, honoring each other above the way that I honor myself, God, you're the only one that can do a work like that in my heart. And so would you cause all of us who are engaged right now in this time to be able to see others differently, to place others' needs, others' wants, others' desires, others' hurts above our own issues. Allow us to be people who love each other to a deeper level, that we would be people who are joyful with one another, who are patient in the way that we deal with each other, that we would pray for each other, that we would be people who share what we have with one another, and in doing that, like that we reflect you to a world that so desperately needs to see something different. And God, so we ask that you would do a work in order to open our eyes to the things that need to change inside of us, soften our hearts to transformation that you desire to do inside of us.
Romans 12th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 14, 15, and 16. And the word of the Lord reads on this wise: bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low degree. Do not be conceited. Father, we thank you for your word on today that reminds us to rejoice with our brothers, to mourn. And Lord, just as many of us have been mourning, Father, I am filled with joy right now, just thinking about how you are doing a work and that you're able to take things and turn it around. Even though the enemy may mean it for evil, you're able to make it all good. And so, God, we pray that you will help us to rid ourselves of the conceit and the pride and the things that divide us from you and divide us from one another. Oh, God, we love you because you loved us first. Help us to remember that. Help us to remember that it is your grace that has saved us. And, Lord, we should extend grace to one another. Oh, God, we honor you and we give you all the praise. Thank you for this night and this church and the pastors and everyone who's watching and joining us today. May you do a work in our hearts. May you do a work in this city. May you do a work in this nation. May you do a work in this world. And we will give you all the praise, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me continue with verses 17 through 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord God, I just admit that my heart is crooked like a bent stick. I know we say that around here a lot at Blackhawk, and it's so true. I can so easily in my spirit desire revenge. I can desire paid back. I can desire to, I so easily move towards pride in places where, how dare someone do something against me? God, I have the hardest time taking these verses and putting them into practice because my spirit is broken. I just ask forgiveness for that. I ask forgiveness for our church. God, would you help us to be a church that is not overcome by evil, but help us to be people, individuals, a community connected together, locked arms from every tribe and tongue and nation who overcome evil with good. That we would be able to display to this world something that is so different than what our society and culture are so used to seeing. That we would be a place that love each other to such a deep level that show grace and mercy and forgiveness, that mourn with each other who mourns, that rejoice with those who rejoice, that we would be people who are alongside each other and do life together. That as people see the way that we live this out, they would be so drawn to you. Because ultimately in us, they see who you are as a God who is all about love, all about true unity. And so, Father, give us the ability to live a different type of a life, not for our glory, not that some people look at Blackhawk and say, what a great church, but ultimately they would say, wow, what an amazing God. And their lives would be transformed by the way that you use us. And so as a church, we want to be people who pour our lives out before you right now and ask you to use us however it is that you see fit. Unite us deeply that we might transform and help to transform this city into the type of place you desire for it to be. Thank you so much for your love that surpasses any type of hate. We love you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The center of it all. God, we need you in the center, yes. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Nothing in this world. Jesus, you're the center, yes. Everything revolves around you, Jesus. Be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Oh God. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you.
Nothing else.
Nothing else matters. You're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus. You.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Sing with me. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Jesus, be the center of your church.
All about you, from my heart to the head. Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Since you loved us, yeah, yeah.
How great your grace, Lord.
You.
Oh, great your love, Lord.
It's everlasting, yes,
the God of justice and righteousness and holiness.
Your peace passes all understanding.
First in our hearts, oh, first in our hearts, and then on our city, and then in our nation, your kingdom come, it will be done, Lord.
Right here, right now,
Jesus.
It's all about you, all
King
about
Jesus.
You. Oh, it's all about you.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this evening. Man, I tell you, with the song that was just sung, can you imagine what could take place in our church when our lives, all of us, are centered on Jesus? Imagine the work that He can do in us, and imagine the work that He can do through us to be a different kind of a place that reflects who He is to everyone we come in contact with. And so I know this isn't a church service. This was a time for us just to be able to gather, but I don't know, after the way that this all just finished, I felt the need to give a benediction here at the end. And so I want to finish with these words from the book of Ephesians. And so my prayer is that you being rooted and established in love, rooted, that kind of fits with everything we were talking about earlier about being tree people. You being rooted and established in love may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to Him who is able to do abundantly, more than all that we ask or imagine, not according to our power, but according to his power that's at work inside of you and of me. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, and all God's people collectively said wherever they are, amen. Thanks again for being with us. We look forward to seeing you soon.